All right, this is Manava Nui with the Max Freedom Wong website, and we have James Alexander with us again to train us in HUNA, particularly with the pendulum, and creating a more integrated self and enhancing our communication. So, James.
Go ahead. You're doing great. Keep on.
That's all I have. Just want you to, I know you have a lot to cover tonight, and want to give you a chance to get through the materials as well as answer people's questions. And so.
Well, you need to make sure I know at the 15-minute moment, if you would please, and the 30-minute moment, and then the 45-minute moment.
Okay, great.
Okay. So let's get started. All right. We're going to talk, again, this is, you know, this is the kind of thing that I'd love to have on a video, but we can see, most people who know how to use a pendulum or have ever used a pendulum, there's two basic versions out there, but it comes down to this. There's our version, and then there's the American Society of Dowsers version. And neither one of them are wrong, nor is neither one of them right. The ones that the way we do this is slightly different, and by being slightly different, we get things, what I consider to be done, a lot faster. So I'm going to go over some basics. It simply starts this way. Before you sit down to do a pendulum, or to use a pendulum, or to even get it going well, when you hold it, let's talk about what a pendulum is. I hear all the time from people about, well, I talk to my basic self and they hold up this gadget called a pendulum, like their basic self is that doodad. It's a tool. You can use anything that you can use it as a pendulum. It can dangle and swing through the blood pressure of the body to make it that way. So the point comes down to, let's don't start associating and upsetting or calling another part of you that is just as one of the most profound, integrated part of you, a device. Your inner self is you.
Hey James, I'm going to mute the line real quick here. Just
go ahead. And in the process of this, we end up with this misassociation. You need to be, this is all about respect. This is about creating an agreement. This is about learning to do things new within yourself. So you start off with the idea that your unconscious mind or basic self is there. And it really helps to tell it an expectation. In other words, I actually changed the name that Max gave for the Unhapili from the low self. I mean, in his time, that wasn't any issue, but in our politically correct time today about everything being spread, why do we want to associate another part of Earth with the word low? I understand he said, and he makes that point in his book, but it was about position. Well, I'm sorry, boys and girls, but when you say your low self to yourself, you're communicating in our politically correct verbiage today, not necessarily a very high place. So I changed that to basic self. And it is basic. It is one of the most fundamental parts of your being, and its job is as crucial as air to staying alive in your system. So let's start off with a level of respect and permission and start working it out. Now, here's the first ground rule. Before you even get going to dealing with the pendulum, you need to clear yourself using the revocation that I talked on the last call about. That revocation is important. It doesn't matter whether you say you're clear or not. Your intent is for you to be clear when you start off. And your next statement is to tell. In other words, to inform a direction. So if you will think about how simple this is, when you start giving instruction to yourself, it is always better to use what you already do and transfer to something else in a different way. In other words, I don't want to ask you to have to run up and down stairs backwards when I can tell you to shake your head one way and get the same results. So let's start off with an understanding. Universally, on this planet, when you ask somebody to shake their head yes, they go back and forth. That's a yes sign. You want to say no, they turn their head left and right. I don't care if you're in the middle of the Amazon and you run across indigenous people there, they shake their head up and down for yes and left and right for no. It's just the way it is. I think it's in our DNA for that matter, but whatever. So when you use a pendulum to and fro away from me and toward you, it's yes. left and right is no. Very simple to transfer that in the process. The other thing is about how to use that pendulum more directly is that we don't want a pendulum 12 inches long. We want something a little more heavy than not. You know, I'm not going to say it has to be an ounce or a half ounce, but we want it to keep the string tall enough so that when your blood pressure moves it while you're trying to relax and do this, that it's going to be able to keep that, to see that vibration based on the weight on the bottom. It does not need to be 10 inches away from the three fingers that you're holding with, thumb, middle, and, you know, it just needs to be 3 or 4 inches tops. You're going to rest your elbow down there on the table, and you're going to sit there, and your first statement is to yourself, for the first time, you're going to turn around, or maybe you're going to better turn around and learn to do this for yourself. You've done it in other ways. You're going to say to yourself, basic self born to me in this lifetime, I wish to establish a clear communication to you using a communication tool as a verification agent. In other words, I want to verify these things. So you want to ask yourself, tell yourself that you want to use this tool, that it's not the tool, but it's going to work with you through this tool to get communication started. And that's pretty much the statement. I would like to speak with you, and I would like to use this tool to do it with. Will you please show me a yes sign based on this? And you'll show it the yes sign, moving it back and forth away from you, and then hold it still and ask your basic self right then and there to emulate the yes sign. And then you come to the point and think, and you give thanks for it doing it. This is like taking a child by the hand. And you know what? You're literally doing that. So when you get that motion going back and forth, and you say, thank you for doing that. Now I want you to show and demonstrate the no sign. Now, some people will pick this up quickly, and their little basic selves will go left and right immediately or go into that division. So you show it the left and right sign, and then you ask it to repeat that, and you give it thanks for doing that. Again, this is about you reinforcing training. Anytime, every time, all times, your thought, my thought, anybody's thought, and I don't care, working with your basic self is never, I repeat, never about blame. This is the child within you. It needs to know that it can trust you, that it can come to you, and that you can go to it, and between the both of you, y'all can go and work whatever's out to a positive result. It should never be about an emotional anger or blame, ever. So in your communication, you know, even if it's doing something that you do not approve of, you can say, well, we have done it that way. In the future, I would like for it to do it this way. So you start off by setting up good boundaries. So in that process of getting rid of any old blame, you give it free, open venue to communicate with you under terms that you mutually can agree with. Now, once you get the yes and no out, that creates a plus sign on a piece of paper. Let's take that same idea where you got that plus, and then like from 2 o'clock to 8 o'clock, you'll draw one line, and then on the other side, 10 to 4, you draw that line. Now you got an X in there as well. It does not matter whether the 2 o'clock to 8 is going to be designated blank or the other one's going to be designated blank. You can use it either way. There's no set guide for this, but what you want to do is tell your basic self that you want it to choose one of those X directions to demonstrate its direction, that is only its direction, and it will do so. So let's say for the point of argument, we're going to use 2-8. We have a to and fro, yes, a left and right, no, and a 2 o'clock to 8 o'clock position for basic self. In this process, you now have the basic self showing your direction. And what you want to say to your basic self is now, you know, I sometimes can get really excited about doing stuff with you, and I may block out communication by my excitement or our shared emotion. So what I'd like to do is, if I'm interfering in any way, shape, type, or form with receiving the answer or trying to make you answer something that's not true, then I want you to just go in a circle. And I only want you to go to the answer when you can tell me what the answer is, regardless of whether or not I want to hear it or not. It's important that we hear the truth. Can we come to that agreement, yes or no? And that's your first agreement with yourself, that you want it to tell you the truth as it sees it to be. And you also want to give it the liberty to tell you when things may not be right on its side of the house. And it can transmit by going around in that circle. Sometimes the emotion of the issue will get involved, and it will tell you things like you won't feel well, and you can start thinking that there's a problem there because it's not cooperating. And that gives you a clue, because logically, and the conscious self, Uhani, is being logical here, it can wake up and say, excuse me, you know, this is a pretty simple thing. It's either yes or no. You'll start thinking, are you having difficulty answering this because there's something interfering with it, yes or no? Now, here's a clue to this. You know, if you get a no and you still don't feel right about it on a conscious basis, you say, is something telling you to say no when the answer is really yes? And you'll be surprised at what happens. Sometimes you need to go back and stop, re-clear yourself because some part of you allowed something in or this issue triggered something. And you'll discover that you have issues there that you need to clear in order to go forward on whatever that you were working on. And that's just how you start working and getting rid of things inside of yourself that limit how you co-create. Now, taking this boundary issue again, you say, well, I have a yes, a no, a basic self sign. You want to start off when you know you're clear and everybody's hunky-dory, and based on this as a predicator, so we move forward into the conversation tonight. You want to say, basic self, can you communicate with our higher self, yes or no? Assuming, well, what that word means, that we get a yes there. It'll tell you a yes, and that's it. And then you want to say, okay, basic self, can I talk through you to the higher self, yes or no? If you get a yes, then we want to start that conversation, and we want the basic self to then to create the other direction. In other words, we started off with its direction as being 2 to 8. We want the high self direction to be from 10 to 4. So, in that last couple of minutes conversation, we covered an awful lot of stuff. Let's recap here. When you establish your communication, you're never to make it about blame. You're to be open and honest with it, and you're to create your level of communication. The second, when you go through and establish your yes, no, basic self-direction, you establish the direction of the basic self special, and then you establish the direction of the higher self. Then comes the second, or can be, the most important thing you'll ever do in your lifetime, and that is to open up a level of communication to your Amakua. Now, I want you to understand, so let's talk about Amakuas for a minute. Everybody has one that's alive on this planet. Everything that's alive on this planet has some form of Amakua attached to it. Animals have what I understand to be group souls. In other words, one Amakua may have 25 dogs attached to it, for example. A whole section of insects can be governed by one Amakua, special for that group or groups of Amakuas. But the point comes down to the higher self of all living things is an Amakua. And the idea comes down to you're going to want to talk to your Amakua. Now, what we understand from Hawaiian mysticism and what Max taught us is that the Amakua places us when we come here, it chooses to become bifurcated or split apart. And the part of it that needs the most development is who? Well, certainly in the conscious who works about in a logical scenario all the time, it's your basic self or your Unahupita. So it's your Unahupili who shares both a physical relationship and a spiritual relationship simultaneously. And that Unahupili is what's being taught to grow into light in a better way. The exercise of that Unahupili and how you treat it and how you work with it and how you establish circumstances with it is just like raising any child that you had on the earth by. What has been determined beyond what Max wrote and just about as a firm rule, it's not written in stone anywhere, but a lot of people who practice will tell you that Unahupili, as a rule, never gets more physically mature than what you would associate with the most mature 9-year-old, if you're in the physical flesh. In other words, think about that. But let's also realize that there's an instinctual part of Unahupili. The Unahupili instinctually at birth knows how to do certain things. In fact, it's in charge at birth. Consciousness, Uhani, comes in later on. We're physically not capable to house it all. There's parts of us that kind of grow to allow that to come into being. So the Unahupili is in charge of everything, and I mean literally everything involuntary in the body. Anything to do, organs, digestion, you name it, it's in charge of it. Breath, sight, all those things that Unahupili is in charge of, anything involuntary. It's also in charge of and the keeper of all archival records. Every experience you've ever had is housed and logged into the memory section of your encyclopedia. Every human being has perfect memory. Sometimes we've got crappy recall, but we have perfect memory. And that saying, you know, when you have a horrifying event come and your life passed before you, I can personally tell you from my own experience, that's very true. I've had that happen. And it's amazing. Go ahead.
15-minute window here.
I think you went blowing through that a couple minutes ago.
Okay, thank you. Sure. Now, going to the next stage is when you go to establish that communication with the Yamakula, you get permission of the basic self. May I talk through you? And if it says no, that means there may be something in the basic self that is afraid to go up or doesn't feel honored. And so the idea is to try to clear that. In other words, you want to start off with that the Yamakula can work with you and forgive you. It is not the divine source, but it is from whom you are going to receive that forgiveness and out of whose mouth the created source speaks. And it does not speak to you like you're talking to me now and I'm listening and so forth. It's a knowing. You know, and it's very important to understand that it's a knowing. It is something that you just know. It will be a sensation. And as Max said in his book, there's demonstrations that you'll feel that warming in the back. There's a feeling and a sensation when you've connected to it. So when you clear your issues or get forgiveness, and even if you haven't gotten it that far, you can talk to your basic self and say, look, let's proceed forward. Let's go to the high self and ask that this be cleared and forgiven within us and get it healed. So remembering the principles of the laws of attraction when you do prayer action, you don't say, would you please do this? You always say, thank you for healing me. Thank you for healing this issue, as if it's already done. That's the prayer you send up there. But you're doing so with a request, even in the after-fact statement. So you ask through your basic self, through your high self, and you said, let me do the talking, basic self, and let's make this up here. Say, Yamakula, please forgive me and my basic self. Thank you for healing us now. That's a request, but you've given a request to your higher self for it to be present. Now, let's talk about it. You say, well, God, that's your higher self, and I have all the permission in the world. As a rule, Yamakulas do not get involved in our life down here other than the mechanical function of creating our futures so that we can experience everything that we need to experience and get our basic selves to learn the maximum amount. That's the good news and the bad news. That may work out just fine for a lot of people, and does, in fact. However, some of us seem to suffer from, you know, the idiocies of our parents and our families and our circumstances, and so it would be helpful to invite our higher selves and give it permission to help us learn, grow into light, and to also mentor our Unahapiti. What a novel concept. We're going to ask our masterful soul force to help us learn how to exercise our body. Now, just like, you know, you and I want to get in shape and go down there and lift weights, well, we're instead of just having the gym around us and living through it the hard way, not having any instruction, we can start getting input from our higher selves to help us help ourselves help ourselves. This is also a growth process. And as much as that's up for argument and conjecture, trust me on this, when I've done it, and I heard it, and the moral of the story is, that's just the way it is. Whether I like it or not, I can just tell you I haven't found any difference. I found variations, I found twists and turns. But you do not just, you know, your Unahapiti is childlike in logic, but is great on memory and recall. Now, let me tell you why this is important to understand. You go before, when you were 6 years old, you went before and did something, and it was not necessarily very good or whatever, but you did X and you survived that. You now may be 26 years old and you're confronted with a situation in which your basic self does not feel that you're going to survive, and it looks at that and instantly it goes through the billions of memories and finds the situation that closely resembles that, and you will automatically find yourself doing that program response. And that results can range from complete disaster to the comedic. You know, I mean, it could be just hilarious or for wonderful results. So you understand that the basic self wasn't doing a lot of thinking. It was doing a research to what was similar and then taking a reaction to that. Part of what the purpose of learning HUNA is about is learning how to reprogram those things that no longer serves us. To go inside and say, you know, this reaction we just had to this doesn't work anymore. Might have worked when I was 6, but certainly not working when I'm 36. Big difference. 30 years difference. Levels of maturity. I shouldn't be doing it. And that's not an appropriate reaction. So how do you get rid of that stuff? Well, working with your basic self. Going to your Amakua, you can go inside and you can ask your Amakua to help you do that. It starts off with the invitation for it to help you in your life. It starts off with the understanding that you want to get it to work with your basic self. And it's a request that you find those thought forms, conflicts, belief patterns, and things inside of you that have allowed that to be present, and let's replace it with a better way. And then you say what you want that better way to be. And then you get approval from your higher self, and then as a unit, you create a change. You can visualize literally through that communication, you can create where these things are given up. It's not painless, it's pleasurable, it's helpful, and it allows you to establish communication. So where all this negative stuff goes? Who creates your future day by day? Your Amakua does. If you want to change what your future is immediately, short-term, mid-term, and long-term, you need to have a better communication with your Amakua than you have currently. Because you don't want those events being subtly snuck in the prayer rituals or the how I recreate my life. In the previous call, I'm sure you heard me say, you know, you ever had those situations where you take 10 steps forward and automatically you got 5 steps back and you don't know how that happened? It happened because your basic self is creating that, sending mana up to your high self to create that in your life. And you say, well, that's not good. Well, you're right. It's not. The other point is, though, because you're aware of becoming aware of that, you can now talk to your Amakua through your basic self, and as a unit working in synergy, you can go in there and stop that behavior and replace it with one that's more productive and serves you, not only because you consciously say so, but because your Amakua has approved it. So you say, well, is it going to automatically do that? No, it's not. You're going to have to present it what you want to replace that with and see if it approves that. And if you get that approval, and how are you getting all these permissions? You know, that system with the A and A and basic self sign and high self sign. You see, it'll go to the high self sign first, telling you where the answer is coming from, and then it'll give you a yes or no. In that process, a lot of times one of the phrases that I use, can you make it known to me a better way? Because if I didn't get a right answer, one that I thought was good, I'm going to ask you to do that. Do I always get it instantly? No. Do I always get it that session? No. Sometimes I have to back off and say, can you make it known to me? And if there are things inside of me blocking this, I want them healed. Thank you for healing those things that block you from my life and in my communication. And you back away. Now, this is all about becoming in harmony. Becoming in harmony means that you're going to start recognizing problems in your life. When I say recognize a problem, I'm not talking about, well, you know it's there. I'm talking about that in a point of synergy where you're doing your faith, your basic self doing what it's supposed to do, your Amakua doing what it's supposed to do, and you're all connected, and you're all looking at the can of worms that you want to work on. And in that synergized space, when you first recognize something, is the only way you can change it and move it forward. So whatever the issue is, then you can get the basic self and you create energy. And if you do that energy creating by taking those deeper than normal breaths, sending it to the Amakua with intention to be used for creating the future for healing. Now, this is a lot to do in an hour, and I hope I haven't sounded too convoluted, but the point comes down to it starts off with what? That first communication with your basic self, and it's never about playing. You may have been brought up in a household that told you you were not worth anything. Those deep-seated, rooted things, even though you may have overcome it, you think in your life affects you every day of your life. You don't have to spend the rest of your life going away and getting rid of it every moment of the day either. You can ask your higher self or your Amakua to help assist you to release you from this and to teach you a better way in your level of communication and creation, and it will do so. But there's a group of people running around out there saying, well, I just want to ask my Amakua to do this and that, and, you know, I got, you know, a music scenario at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I don't have time for this, and I need to go handle this. Let me tell you something. Let's remember who your Amakua is. It's your soul force. And it's out of whose mouth the Kiyakua, or the creator of all things, talks. Yeronaku isn't God, but it's out of whose mouth to you God speaks. And that's big business. Let's be respectful here. Because Yoramaku can decide that if you're on the wrong track, you don't need to be here anymore. And Yoramaku can decide that maybe you need to learn something a little differently. It doesn't mean that you have to suck up to it, but it does mean you need to be respectful. And don't go to it with frivolous things. Go to it with honor and integrity and with the understanding that you want to grow and you want to do this. The idea of removing the ego sometimes is a good idea. You need to come to a place to where you can come to a level of understanding, and you'll be blessed by that communication. Yoramaku also is the one who knows how to take the mana, our air that we breathe, and transform it into mana loa. And when it gets a hold of mana loa, the magic can happen. So the way the process works, conscious, the basic self, the high self, and I think I'm the only one that actually teaches this, but conscious, the high self directly, it's big business because you're connected. It's about removing the limitations in your life that say, I can't do that. Those are concepts that you can't. And in those concepts, you go and say, well, I'm formulated by the way I think or how I think or feel about something. Or I had an event and I collapsed into it and the story I told about it becomes the reality of what? All that's true, but you know what? The same thing made it real, make it unreal. You can recreate and create yourself into whatever circumstance you want. And that's why you hear some of the most successful people on this planet. I'm talking about really successful people tell you you have to work your visions. You have to work your dreams. So how do you do that? Why is it important to come to this level of synergy? You want to get to the place of what the Hawaiians talked about with Lokahi, being in harmony and unity with everything around you, not in conflict. You're not walking around in anger. You're not walking around in ego thinking I'm better than this or that, but you are walking around in synergy with life and seeing the spiritual life force in everything. The Hawaiians understood that all things were also spiritual, all the way down to the fruit you eat, the food you eat, the meat, whatever. You know, the Native American Indians and other indigenous people, when they kill to eat, to survive, they eat what they kill. They give prayers to the soul of the animal who gave its life, and they thank it for its sacrifice. Even though it tried to stay alive, they are still respectful of that. There's no ego here about, oh, how I killed the big bad bear. It's more about thank you for your life so that I may live. It's an understanding of that flow. And you get that because you have flow. You get that flow by working through the system I just described. And it's a conscious knowledge also that comes back and forth. And that works. Now, these three cells that we create this, you start off with that level of intention, and you use your pendulum to verify the connection. And let me just give you some key phrases. I know we're recording this, but there's some things I've learned over the years that are very important. I had a client, and we were sitting there, and he was going, well, you know, I did all that, and I just don't get very much results. And I said, if you ask, you know, you remember the storytelling game where you have 20 kids, and you say, whispering to the other person that Mary had a little lamb. By the time it goes around to the 30th person, they had lamb for dinner, and it was good. It's the outcome. Communication gets garbled, so you have to ask yourself, how many times do I have to say this to get through? And then you have to look at the mechanical issue. And this is a lot more than what you would ever thought you'd be doing. But do you have thought forms, complexes, belief patterns, or understandings, or worth issues, which are also housed in complexes, that says that you're not supposed to be able to have that kind of help and intention given to you? So you're not supposed to allow that to go through, and you have to say it 200 times, like to get that one message through. You don't have to say the one message 200 times, but you can go around that by saying, if I have things that are resisting this communication, that stopping me inside of me from being able to send this communication to Mahamakua, I'm asking that these be addressed, and I'm giving thanks for them being healed now. That's addressing the problem on the foot, so to speak, right then and there. you're asking that your basic self be released from that and be taught a newer way, and that doesn't have to be that way. That just because we've done it 2,000 ways like that before doesn't mean we have to do it today like that. And if we have things that say that we can't just change like that, if it's for our highest good and healing and our Anukula approves it, it can be changed like this. And that's the point. You start addressing the inhibitors that stop you from being able to be a life force and a creator in your life. The idea of standing there, being in a position and a place where you realize that you've reached goals in your life before, now you have a tool of communication to help you grow into life, to help you move forward to where you can work out those things. If you got stuff inside you that limits that or limits your level of mana that you can store up and so you can have ready access to, that stops you from being in harmony and listening and stops your knowing, then we need to get that stuff out of there. And things that you would just not think about normally, stuff like, well, I don't have worth, so therefore I can't heal. Those kind of questions. Address those things. You have worth for being just who and what you are. You have great value, huge value. You are a creator. You were created to be a creator. And the level you can learn to create and the good that you can do. It doesn't mean that we're all supposed to go out and become healers. But I can tell you what it does mean. That we are all supposed to become the best we can be. Having said that, let's move to the next point. Where am I on time?
Hey, Jack, 5 minutes.
How like I said,
real quick.
Go ahead, and I want y'all to hold for one half a second, please.
Okay, sure. So, to ask a question, press *6, and then say your name and your question. So wait till James comes back here.
Well, I'm here. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you wanted.
Well, any
questions of what he's covered so far? Yeah, feel free to speak up.
Hello, somebody hit that button. You don't have them all locked out, do you?
Well, let me unlock everybody. Just
sure.
Hello, this is Robin.
Go ahead.
I had a question because I work with hypnosis, and with
yes.
my client, how could I do this with a client? Would I be able to use a pendulum with them, or can I teach them?
You can do that. In fact, a lot of people who practice hypnosis do that. But I'll tell you one thing. If you're going to talk to them, you know, the rule is, like, you know, you simplistically put, when they're in state of being hypnotized, for lack of a better term. While they're in that state, you don't give the command, don't smoke, you know, because smoking has so many triggers attached to it. And you're taught never to give that command, don't smoke, you know, or just in this instance. However, what you can do is say, if we have things inside of us, or let's say I have a client who's hypnotized in front of me, you can say, I want you to go deep within inside yourself in every place that you have things that support you doing this habit that's no longer any good for you and doesn't help you. We want to gather them up and we want to give them to our higher selves to be transmuted and healed. You can physically see them being gathered up now. And now, friend, talk about opening the door for the Imahapili to have some place to go do its thing good. That's one way to do that. And then you can use them, you can teach them the pendulum afterward, but you're teaching them here, and that works. And that's just one of the ways I've done suggestion in the past and had huge success. That help you?
Because it should work on many things then with all of their complexes or phobias or whatever they're having issues with.
Well, especially phobias, by the way. If you go inside a person's subconscious, you know, a lot of times people treat that by saying to them, you know, you can feel safe, you don't have to be afraid. What you really want them to do is to go beyond that and to deal with whatever created
the fear to begin with, because the phobia is nothing more than a fear of something. It's the results of a fear, more an outcome of the fear, you know. They don't want to go outside because. They don't want to be around a spider because. They don't want to have roaches because. You know what I'm saying. It's always about an outcome that they've experienced. Once they learn that they can go to that place and experience through that and take those negative emotions and release them to their higher selves and get that corrected, they can see through to the logic of it. And you as the hypnotist become the Uhani in that position and are able to lead them into a place where they can release this. And once that's done, it's over. There's no more phobia.
I'll
tell you what else, too. When you do it that way, you don't have other phobias coming up to cover up whatever that they really didn't get to. Go ahead.
Because you dealt with the root cause, so I can give them the command then that once they've gathered up all of this energy or what their fears, they can release them to the higher self, which will then dissipate them, or is that the command that you give?
What I would do is bring them to the point and walk them through the release, just like we do it when you're doing it in a conscious self or you're doing it for yourself. You'll bring up the issue, you'll find whatever the issue is. And when you find that issue, you're going to work through it and you're going to say, do we need to do this? Does this any longer serve us? And if it says in your Alma Kua, through your pendulum says no, your basic self says no, so can we release this now? Now here's the catch 22. A lot of times you'll find that the problem there is not just what you think it is. And it doesn't matter whether the subject's hypnotized or whether you're working in synergy at the moment or not. You'll find that there's a fear or an emotion or an attachment of some agreement in there that you might have an eating companion or something else hanging around in there. And when that happens, you're in doo-doo land right then. But you're going to have to go back and clear that issue. I'm going to repeat again this statement. How do you get rid of eating companions? You revoke their permission and you increase the light, period, the frequency of light. And even while you're in that session, you can revoke it then. If they're hypnotized, you can bring forth the higher self. Get that permission removed from the basic self by asking, have it be evaluated by the Alma Kua. Alma Kua says, you know, that permission is no good. Then you bring down light, and you will clear that issue just that quick.
So in other words, you're saying that we can be a bridge for our clients. We can go in and ask
their... Are you telling me that you're not a bridge for your clients?
Well, yes, I believe so.
There's no doubt about it, in my opinion. But you know,
but you still have to establish an agreement between their basic self and their higher self.
Yes, you do. And I use a phrase. It's a catch-all phrase. Anybody who's ever worked with me knows this. I call them the standard permission. No matter what I say and do in this session, if you're on the coup, it does not approve it, or it's not for your highest good, regardless of what I think or you think. It is to have no effect whatsoever. And that's my first agreement. The first agreement of any healer is to do no hurt or harm. The second agreement is to heal and to be the facilitator for that healing to occur. That help you?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi.
Any more questions?
This is Anna.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask, can you be that bridge telepathically for another person using your pendulum and asking if the person that you're working with, their basic self and Alma Kua, can you do that telepathically or distance healing?
Absolutely, but I would say that I would want their conscious permission to do that.
Okay.
But having said that, I mean, let's say you got a guy in a coma, you know, and you want him to do this. What I would do is go to my Alma Kua, and I would ask, I have an intention here that I'd like to see, let's say, John come out of the coma if this is for his highest good and healing, and ask your Alma Kua to answer that question. If it gives you a yes, then what I would do is ask my Alma Kua, contact John's Alma Kua, and ask and start the affirmation, thank you for healing John. Thank you for making him come out of the coma healed and made whole and sound and perfect. You're beginning to work in synergy then, and believe me, when you start to do that, you're going to start having intuitive input as to how to move in that process from your Alma Kua. But you get his and your Alma Kua to get permission from his Alma Kua to do this. Because you don't want to increase any karma.
Makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next.
Yes, hi, this is Noor. I wondered,
yes, ma'am.
I wondered if I could just clarify for a moment the...
Go right ahead.
The 2-8 and the 5-10, I'm not on that page anymore. That is simply to clarify who you're talking to. It's just an indication of whether you're speaking to your Anahatili or your Amakua.
That's correct.
And the yes and the no becomes the same for both of them.
Yes.
Either of them.
That's correct. Now, sometimes you'll hear people say, well, I'll ask my basic self, and they'll give me one answer, and then they'll ask their higher self, and they give you another answer, wrong answer for both of that. That should be a unified front, defeating the purpose if you go straight to your Anakua and don't talk to your Anahatili unless there's an issue that would make that required. Because what you want to do is talk through your Anahatili to your Anakua. And even though you're doing that consciously, and let me say this, I didn't say this earlier, every time that you do this type of stuff, you want to talk out loud. You want to say your prayers out loud. You want to do this work out loud. And the reason you do that is that in order to create anything, you first must get the permission to do so from your higher self. Once you're given that permission, you build the energy and send the mana to the basic self, go to the higher self, and through you consciously to the higher self. Then you say it aloud, and saying it aloud places it in creation. Your communication, and another thing is that when you're using an out loud verbal communication, you are consciously separating yourself from your Anahatili. And it's using its version of communication within you to tell you through emotion, through the use of the pendulum and so forth. And you'll also receive that knowing from your Amakua. The more you get that flow to going, the better off you are.
Excellent. Thank you. After the last phone call, I had a very successful session with somebody who just came back from Iraq with PTSD, and he really seemed to clear himself, and he is sleeping like a baby and everything now. It's just, he's so grateful.
Well, amen. I have nothing to say other than amen. A lot of times people go over there, and let me tell you something. The enemy over there knows how to give people critters just like we do. You know, they'll come over, and a lot of times you'll go some places. I thought it was interesting during another war that the children would always come up and touch the soldiers and so forth. And what you really find out is they've been taught to go over there and wish evil upon them and deliver it to them by touching them. Now you can say, well, that shouldn't have any effect. No, I don't know about that. Critters are everywhere. They make a living and eating, and we're food on the hoof. And so to be hand-delivered to another food on the hoof, why not?
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
If we're all really oneself, can we use our own connection as the higher self connected to our basic self? Can we ask permission if working on a group issue with a group of people wanting to be cleared of something to simply just be the voice for the whole group? Can we ask permission to do that?
Certainly. Don't be disappointed if you get a no for an answer. But let me tell you this, don't always take no for an answer. And by that I mean, I was doing a really, using other terms, they would have said this was an incantation or something like that. And I was going through the process of the prayer clearing, and I got to this one verbiage, and it was almost like my entire body seized up, and I was like, obviously, that ain't going to fly, and I had to stop the incantation. I had to go back, but, to my basic self, my high self, is there a problem with this? Clearly there was a yes to that. And I said, is it the outcome that's the problem, yes or no? You start looking for ways to answer questions, and no. So the outcome wasn't wrong, but it was the way I was doing it was wrong. I said, can you make it known to me how you want me to say this so this can be facilitated? And I actually found myself hearing some things in my head, and I said, okay. So I went back, picked up from where I left off and finished it out. And the other call, you heard me say, you write down your prayers. That's one of the reasons you do that, so you can go back and find the point. Anywho, it worked out. So my point to you is, just because you receive a no on some working, don't just accept that's an overwhelming blank no unless it feels like that, but still ask, because That's why you have that tool, so you can.
Thank you.
This is Robin, and I...
Go ahead, Rob.
Hello, I just had one question, because you referenced these critters.
Those are eating companions.
Right.
Uh-huh.
How could they attach themselves, and in this pendulum, can you just ask your high self then to detach them?
Well, we have a general clearing that I give people that in the previous call, and I'm sure it's on... Julian, is that on the site? Calling Manavanui.
It's called a general revocation.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure that's on the site, but it's one I wrote for that. But on top of that is, look, I wrote that based on my work with people and what I had to go do to get that out of there. You have to understand that clearing is about increasing the level of light and revoking any permissions that you may have given knowingly or unknowingly for those things to be present. And, and you say, well, I wouldn't have knowingly done that. Let me tell you something. If you came over to my house, whatever, and you were very thirsty, you say, can I have a glass of water? And I say, sure. Well, if I have ill intent, I'll charge that water with ill intent. Unless you're pretty sensitive, I have just given you what you assumed that you wanted. So unless you have your body and your spiritual energy up and working in synergy, I just gave you something to drink and put inside of you with ill intent. Huh. And you see where I'm going with that? Everybody, if you sleep with dogs, you're going to get fleas eventually. It's just a fact of life. Their eating companions have learned to hunt us, stalk us, and that we're food on the hoof, and God knows we certainly help them a lot. We drink to excess, we smoke whatever, not just tobacco products, blow huge holes in the human aura. We drop our life force, and we wonder why we end up with such problems. And to a great extent, not that I'm trying to give them credit, but the reality is, eating companions are created by the living divine force too. The Kiyakua created those things. They have a lock and step and a rhyme in the world. And that lock and step is to eat on us, and by doing so, they show us what? Our weaknesses that we can work on to improve and heal. So, it works. There's a reason for this. Everything is spirit.
This makes it strong. Right. Okay. Oh, this is pretty scary, though. Thank you so much.
I could really scare you about that, but we'll leave that for another call.
I'm already scared now.
Spirit and hell.
I might explain some things. So thank you very, very, very much. You might have helped me in many, many ways.
Well, great. Somebody else hit me with a question.
If one has a question about their eating companions, if they are to ask that question with the pendulum, and the pendulum is telling them, no, that's fine, they don't have anything, but they really do.
Yes, that's why I asked. This is amazing to me. You'll get an answer from your basic self, and you have to think about your basic self as sharing in both physical and spiritual existence at one time, and they ask out an eating companion. That'd be like you wearing a wetsuit and something crawling around in there in between the suit and you, and it's trying to defend itself. And, they create a lot of illness that way, not because the eating companion is doing that, but the basic self wants to make it and you less desirable, so if you're sick, you have less energy to give them. And I'm not saying that's right, I'm just saying that's a defensive tactic, and that's why a lot of times in other religions you'll see them casting out the demons or whatever, and the person gets well, it got well because there was no reason not to get them well, turn on the life force again. They get cut off, and it creates a real issue, but you're right on the money. So I ask the question, something telling you to say yes when the real answer is no. And I work on that until I feel a confidence. It's an internal sense that you will develop. But let me say this on the bottom line. Let's say you're all stove up. I mean, you're just crittered to the nines and you can't do anything else. Let me tell you something. You are created as a creator. You are a light being. Don't make any mistake about that. Your fault, my fault, anybody's fault. My God, you're a light being. And if you are alive, your behind is connected. And
When I say that means if you speak aloud, you're connected. And I'm just telling your darkest hour, when things are crap, you can't, you know, you have fallen to the bottom of the well, and as in the E.I. Tillich one said, if you can look up, you can get up, and he's right. You may be all messed up, but you can create. And if you can create aloud, if you can speak, you can invite that healing promise into your life again. Now, if that sounds like the Christian evangelist, you know what? He was right. It doesn't have to become with that brand name. But you're going to invite your Amakua and that presence, and you're going to say, thank you for healing me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for getting rid of my limitations. Thank you for clearing me. And if you're alive, you're connected. Therefore, you can create. If you can create, you can change your short-term goals, mid-term goals. You can change the immediate, and you can cause miracles to be manifest into reality. Does that help you?
Yes. You kind of don't believe them. Just go ahead and
you decide what your intentions are. Don't focus on what you don't want. Focus on what you want.
Right.
Okay.
I just love that what you just said, because many years ago I was reading Genesis and it came to me that we are godlike, and in God said he created light, he thought it, he said it, he did it, and that we have those capabilities, and that's exactly what you just outlined.
Absolutely. And by the way, you just said something profoundly important. You know that in every religion on this planet it says God said.
Exactly.
Let's say God wrote a letter.
Let there be light.
It doesn't say God sent a telegram. It said God said. You know, people hear me say, you know, for a guy that's not a Christian minister, you certainly are pounding that thing about the powers in the Word. And I say, excuse me, my first ordination was in the Baptist church, in case you can't tell. You know? But the point comes down to the power is in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing. You know, I've not seen anybody go over to an incantation and didn't open their mouth. You know, I'm sorry. You have to. The key of creation is simply put. That another phrase for that is called co-conjuration ideology, which is simply said you must decide what it is you want to create. Two, if you're smart, you get permission from your higher self to do this. Three, build the energy. Four, say it out loud. And five, do your part to make it so. Not that your part wasn't doing the other parts, but I mean, sometimes you're doing stuff that you need to physically take preparations, like, you know, I need to become a pilot, I'm going to have to go to flight school, so you got to go do your part to do that. Another way of looking at that is that you are an actor upon the world stage, and you do the four parts, and then you go and act your role accordingly as if it's already been done.
And that's that the help faith, you? Right. The faith, the action, thought, words, and deeds.
Amen.
Got it. Thank you.
You're not on page. Are there any more questions? Hello?
Hello. I'm wondering if you have written something, I'm new to the call, on this idea of building the light and how that is done.
Working on it.
Just working
literally
on the connections between.
Well, what I'm doing is, for instance, this level one class that we have going on, we're going to record it, and that'll be transcribed, and it's going to be videoed, and then from that I will extract after this weekend a more. See, part of one of the reasons that you do these basic classes on level one classes, you want to teach people the rudimental principles of human forgiveness. You know, this is not new stuff. It's been around for as long as man's been around. But we want to teach the tools, and we want you to get that connection. Now, sometimes people can get that connection just by listening to something. But more often than not, it takes a kind of physical jump across the bridge role to get somebody to reach in themselves beyond their limitations. Third-party intervention is a better statement to that. And the party that's being the third party, it helps if they've done it themselves, because you actually receive Huna in the reality, just like you don't learn Tibetan Buddhism
if you're going to get it, you're going to have to receive it from somebody who has, and I understand that. And that also many times can be conveyed in just like we're talking now or in a recorded lecture. Because I'm being honest with you, one afternoon, like, you know, I was sitting around and I was going through some videotapes and I had a video of this fella talking, you know, and it was the quality, had this, the current in that building had a huge hum on it, and it showed up being carried over into the video. But even with the hum, you know, I was doing some other stuff, and I popped it in the machine, and I'm sitting there, man, this guy's great, you know, and I'm listening to what he said about that, and I said, I agree with him 100%, and I really thought that I had somebody else's video, and I was really stunned when I turned up and looked and saw me on that TV. And what I discovered at that moment was that word, when you speak that energy, becomes creative power right then. You call into existence what didn't exist before. You are a creator, and there's absolutely nothing that cannot be changed for the better. So when you claim your inherited right as a creator, you can build light from anything. So what we want to do is try to create the best way possible for people to get it. I'm not talking about, oh, I'm just going to go say this and it's going to happen. I'm talking about receive it and get it. Does that help you? We'll have something out in a week or two. I'm holding myself to that, to create a better way out. And that will be a growing and developing document. It's like the syllabus I give out at the level one class. That thing's been revisioned 300-400 times. It's always growing, and I date them because I take the last one we wrote and make it better every time. Because it builds on life experiences of how we practice HUM. HUM is a living, breathing technique and a tool to help us help ourselves. It is not in and of itself just, it's not a belief. As I said before, HUM is something you have to do. It is not a religion in and of itself, but it's a technique, a better idea. And we actually practice HUM all the time in our daily lives. Have you ever noticed how some people are very positive and they get this result and nothing seems to bug them in their life? You go back and you look at their family training, and they were brought up in an atmosphere where they were encouraged to be independent thinkers, to become self-reliant to begin with. And you go and look at other groups of people who were brought up with guilt and all this other negative stuff, how they're not worth anything and so forth, and you wonder why they don't make it. It's kind of like those commercials you see. It shows the kid saying, you know, my vision was to grow up and to be a drug addict. You know, that made a point to me. It's about being able to go inside and use that better idea to become the best you can be. And that's really the paramount point. As soon as a religion is the outcome of using those tools and growing into light with the association and assistance and the bonding unity of Lokahi between the three selves and the living divine force, a.k.a. also known as Kiyakua. That help you?
Hey, James, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you.
Oh, I was trying to talk for a few minutes here and it wasn't working, so I called back in. So my question, were you going to walk us through an exercise, hands-on, working with the pendulum?
I don't know that I can do that because I can't see what you're doing. But what I will say to you is this. Your intentions are paramount. You start off by, like, you're talking to a little boy, a little girl, whichever your sex may be in front of you, and you sit there and you make the boundary issues clear. In other words, you don't want to do anything to hurt or harm. You want to apologize for anything that you may have done, a misunderstanding, and you want to clear the board and come to an agreement with your basic self to always tell the truth to it and for it to tell you the truth. And then you get rid of any of those issues by clearing yourself. And you, once you know you're clear, you want to ask it if it can go to the high self, and if it can't, if it's afraid. Now, let me tell you something. If it says, no, I can't go to the high self, that's a lie because you're creating yourself every day. Got to think about that, you know. If it didn't send stuff to the high self automatically, you wouldn't have that tomorrow. And what you have to do is say, well, you are sending stuff up there. Can we use that route to get over this if you don't feel that you're comfortable so we can expand it? And you coach your little child into growing into light with your communication. When you do that, you're going to receive the blessing because there will be a flow of energy. As you send energy up, oh, my goodness, there will be a flow coming back. And that is the exercise. That help you?
Yeah, sure.
Just want to make sure we
fulfill our
I will do this. Let's try this. I want everybody who can understand. Now, I'm going to cheat now. You know, let me tell you what I mean by cheating. Cheating is where I go to my high self and do a cooperation, just like the other, whoever the other person was at. Can you go to a group of people and go to their amakuas and so forth? And the answer to that is light skippy yes. And so for those who are on this call and can hear my words, now listen to these things that I say carefully because they have powerful meaning. But it's more important also for you to listen to not only what I'm saying, but the intention of what I'm saying. So the first thing I want to say is through my basic self to my high self and from my conscious self to my high self, I'm going to ask your assistance. And let me know if I get this now. I get a yes. And I want to go now and call to the high selves of everyone present on this call, to the living amakuas of every human being present and our animals or whatever who can hear this call and hear my words and the intended meaning. If it is for your highest good and healing now, I'm asking that you receive the blessing of communication between you and your Unahupili, that you be given guidance and wisdom. I'm asking that you be filled with that energy and that you hear those words and that intended force moving through you. If there are things inside of you, rightly, wrongly, we're asking that they be forgiven now and that you are healed from those things instantly that limit your level of communication, that stop you from being in a position to start the work inside yourself, to grow into light, to become better, made whole and sound, and to become the best you can be. I'm asking that you receive intuition to help you help yourself. And I'm asking that you start the journey to create the best path for you and for what is for your highest good. Now, if these things that I have said are good, and a Ko'amakua is called forth now to supply an extra energy for this to be made manifest, so shall it be thought, had it been said, make this so now, in the most positive way for all parties concerned. Au mama, ua noa, lele, wale, akuala, pow. It's a fair buzz. Well, I know it went out because I can feel the flow. Hello.
I know
I can feel it. Thank you.
Feel the flow.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, James.
You should be a reverend.
I am. I'm the head of Huna Life Church. And I'm sorry to tell you this. I'm sorry to tell you this. I'm not just the reverend. I'm the chief priest, wisdom, bottle washer, and the buck stops with me. I enjoyed it when I was just a minister, you know. That's work, you know.
Well, you have your thought, word, and intention and your mission all lined up. And so my high self thanks you.
Well, you're welcome. Aloha. Did we talk about aloha? Did we talk about what those two words mean, aloha and mahalo? If we're not, we're going to do that right quick.
Let's do that.
Aloha in Hawaiian means most simply, a lot of times, hello. It can mean I love you. There's a lot of meanings. But frankly, it's aloha. Now, a lot of people have heard that outsiders of the island were called howlers. And the ha, howly, means people without breath. A formal greeting between one person and another where they become a touch their noses, their foreheads, their palms of their hands, and they would say aloha, and the other party would say mahalo. And what it really meant, mahalo in its simplest term means thank you, but it also means I have received your mana and recognize it. And then they would say aloha, and the other person would say mahalo. So in answers, when somebody says aloha to you, what you're saying is mahalo, thank you for your breath. Thank you, and I'm recognizing your spiritual energy, because what it means is breath up front and personal. You are feeling and receiving their energy and recognizing their spiritual presence and how they're giving that. Now, American Indians had similar greetings. I don't think they quite did the nose and palm ritual, but they had those. And the idea was to become a human, so to speak. I always thought it was interesting, you know, when you're human, you don't have to worry about that. And I'm saying, well, God, I thought I was human. No. It's like their version of human is they recognize your energy, you recognize their, and you will work and retreat them with respect and boundary. And that's a big difference, you know, because frankly, the Caucasian society didn't treat American Indians very well, and that's changed, but you see what I'm saying. The idea comes down to the word aloha. Means exactly that. It can mean I love you. And the reason it's translated to those things, aloha, and the spirit of aloha, and those type of things, is because it is that force of forces being projected from that individual to be surveyed, weighed, and measured, but to be accepted as this is the best light I can produce, and I'm sending it to you in love and light. That's aloha. And your statement should be, I'm in gratitude. Thank you. Mahalo.
Well, we are in gratitude, so thank you.
Okay. Where are we at? Any more questions? I don't know. Can they give me questions now? Oh, somebody give us a question. I hear somebody out there talking. Come on. Who was, is the hypnosis person still on the line?
I am, yes. I am.
Make sure that you got one of my email addresses. LearnHuna@yahoo.com or Huna1SC. That stands for, it's H-U-N-A and the digit one. No space or anything, but it's the number
Yahoo,
one.
So
yeah, SC
learn,
at Yahoo.com.
LearnHuna.com?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Yahoo.com?
Yep.
Because I'm also getting a degree just to authenticate Huna. That's the whole purpose. But I'm getting a degree in that mental health counseling just to be able to mainstream it.
Well, I'm all for anything I can do to help you do that. We love it.
Well,
I frankly,
think we can use the techniques. We don't have to tell them what they are.
Exactly. Sooner or later, though, I'm just telling you, it's like the old phrase, you know, up jumps the devil. Sooner or later, somebody understands that what you're doing is different from somebody else, and it leaks out, you know. It's like there's a lunatic in the house, you know.
What did Jesus do? Everything was about love and forgiveness. And so
yes,
you
ma'am.
Can even couch it with Baptist to as a Jesus. You just have to change the name slightly to let your higher self receive.
Well, it doesn't matter. Intention is the point. It's all about
mm-hmm.
intention. Not about the venue, but intention. The one thing I liked about what Max Freedom Long did was he did not practice the ancient magic. He didn't go through all of that. What he got was the goodie and put that better idea forward. Because frankly, I mean, you can go and talk about other types of metaphysical practices, but, you know, when you have to call four corners, raise the cone of power, do the circle, and do the so forth and so on, you know, as I told a good friend of mine that practices Wicca, I frankly, on the summer thing, I don't care why Persephone goes down to wherever and during Beltane or whatever. I care about getting your results. And what I know is if you start off with the premise and you recognize the three selves, you understand their authority and their powers with each other, and you start whacking out the things that limit the power of the living divine force in you through your Amaku and make that connection, there's absolutely nothing that cannot be changed for the better, and there's a whole heck of a lot that can be healed instantly or better. And that's how you do it. That's intentions. And it's not tied to this person or that person or this divinity or that divinity. And I'll be quite frank with you, there's so much of that's been polluted by man and corrupted that it's not even funny, because if you're a dying person and somebody gives you the gift of life, are you going to give it back because you found out that it might have been not what you thought? I don't think so. Not if you're a smart person. You'll live your life to the fullest.
It's the perennial philosophy that the mystics talk of, because it's all the same. The truth is, it's just a dogma that has been overlaid on top of religion.
And that was created primarily to serve those who preach the dogma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm asked a lot of times. Well, that's true, and they had it, because people, you know, when you look, I mean, I'm not going to being on the Catholic Church, but I thought it was really interesting. Constantine created the Catholic Church. He wanted a religion, and the bottom line came down to where he had two active groups, this group on the right, who pulled lots to create their leadership for the week, you know, for that week or for that month period, and then they did this all the time. They even pulled lots to determine who was going to deliver the message that day. And then we had this other group over here who had a division of command and a structure and an organization. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but it's my own personal opinion.
But if I was Constantine and I had more things to do and I wanted to create a religion, who am I going to hire to do this? The people over here that I can do business with, the same person every month, or the cats over here give me a new leader every month. I like to kind of count on somebody being the same word, because that means their decisions will follow over and we have a rule of law, so to speak. And over here, that can change at the whim of pulling a lot. Now, practicality won there. Once you put the force of the Roman army behind the organization, ergo came the Catholic Church in some form that we have it today. There's a lot about staying focused with your intent and doing the work. We get off on these tangents and we forget that the principle is the walk in synergy, the walk in locity, to ask and have that force precede you in every act and deed you do, to be in harmony so that you can have that being present. We really lose that sometimes, and that's not good. We got to stay focused, and we have to stay in synergy, and we have to listen to ourselves and to our hamakuas and learn to work it. And you can. This isn't brain surgery. This really becomes a living thing that you do. And it's not about what name you call it. It's about the product that you produce. And by the way, the test of all of this is the product that is produced. You know, it's not about, well, if I do X, Y, and Z, do I get this? And this oversimplification I do, and I'm not going to ding them. I hope it works for them, but I'm going to say there's a lot of this group running around and giving out this Ho'oponopono CD, and they say, oh, it just works wonderful. I did these simple words, please forgive me, I am sorry, I suddenly got all fixed. I'm going to tell you, that might work for a percentage of people, but if that worked for everybody, life would be over, and as plain as we know it today, there'd be no war, and everything would be hunky-dory. The reality is, I'm sorry, it's just not, it can be that simple, but in reality, for most people, it takes a little bit more rooting around in thought forms and belief patterns and hurts and harms and things inside of us to get that stuff released than just those simple commands.
Well, now you
and
just
that's the reality.
Feathers.
Say that again?
Now you just ruffled some feathers.
Well, I may ruffle some feathers, but
true.
The product works.
Well, I get a lot of questions about that on the website, and it might actually be a good topic for a call, and comparing the work you do versus the Ho'oponopono work by Heliakala.
Well, there's a couple of people, and the term Ho'oponopono means making right, making more right, and you know, pono means right. Ho is like doing, but the point comes down to is that that's great. I want them to work on it, and you know what? If it works for them, hey, so be it. God bless them, and may they share it, and if they can share it and it works for somebody else, great. But the simple reality of life is, I don't see that happening very often. I haven't seen a lot of that work just like that for anybody. And I'm one of these pragmatic people, you know. That Greg Braden said in his book, he talked about the Chinese hospital, and they had a Qigong practitioner come up there, and they had this person that had a tumor, and they had it showing up on ultrasound, and these two gals were sitting there going, Twaza, Twaza, Twaza. What Twaza means in Chinese is basically it's done. Okay? So they're sitting there doing this, and visibly in front of the eyes of these people who were looking at it, that tumor just frankly disappeared. Now we got a scientific instrument showing it there, and it just goes away. And these gals are standing there going, "Ooh, we're so happy, gonna go work on somebody else." Now that's what I call product. Now, if that cat sitting there who had the tumor could say, Twaza, 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 please forgive me, and I'll go away, and it worked, they wouldn't be needed for a hospital. It's our fallacies. It's this thing inside of us learning to grow to light. There's each unahupili and higher self sent us here for certain experiences. And that kind of stuff doesn't meet the criteria for getting those experiences. So, yeah, I'm just telling you, we got to work at this. And it's something that can be a labor of love and success. Doesn't mean you can always change everything. Doesn't mean all things can become happy, 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 but you can certainly make them all better. And you got to start off with that intention that, you know, no matter how bad it is, it can get better. And that business of thanking, God Almighty, is so important. I just can't thank you for my life. And I want to share with you one other idea about the power of the word and saying out loud. I had this thing I called the Mahalo Nui Loa List. And this is my list. I mean, I've been asked to put this down, write this down. But, you know, really, I want you all to write down your list. But what I start off with is saying, you know, if I've done something wrong to offend or to hurt anyone, I'm sorry. and I wish to thank all parties and release them. And then I wish to give great thanks to my Amakua and Kiyakua for healing me. And I specifically start going after things. If I have thought forms, complexes, and belief patterns inside of me that create an outcome that I'm supposed to not be healthy or act old or crippled or allow myself to get diseased by a certain age or belief patterns that says that the older I get, I can't be healthy, I'd like to have those forgiven, and thank you greatly for healing me of those things now. Thank you for healing my internal organs. Thank you for healing my liver, my pancreas. Thank you for healing my circulation. Thank you for healing my hair. Thank you for healing my eyes. Thank you for healing everything. Thank you for protecting me, showing me your wisdom, giving me your guidance. And I go down this list of stuff of every possible being I can think of at the time that screws with you. Thank you for healing the things inside of me that limit you in my life. Thank you for helping me to have better conscious understanding of what I am doing. Thank you for healing these things in me. And you start giving thanks. You start giving thanks out loud. You'll be stunned at the results and the blessings that have come to you. You're helping create it and invite it into your life. It's not difficult. It's easy, but the product will show itself and stand on its own examination.
I will say amen to that because I personally experienced it. That just gratitude in itself can do miracles.
So, are we about done now?
Hello?
Hello, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I was cut off automatically. I don't know why, but I had to dial it back in. And I didn't quite catch how one can email you. What is
that? You can just write me. I mean, it's pretty much a simple address, learnhuna@yahoo.com.
Okay.
And after giving great prayers of thanks that the server at Yahoo was going to correct their issues, and talking to Yahoo, we corrected our problems with that. I've always been able to get the emails, but emailing back through that address has been a problem, and that's now healed.
Okay. Good. Yes. And then one other question I had on the email that was sent to us about the call tonight. One of the things that was mentioned that we talk about is creating the mana reservoir.
Yes. And mana reservoir is creating with your agreement, with your once you connect to your Amakua through that relationship, you want to ask your Amakua to teach your basic self how to create a reservoir so that mana can be stored for instant communication. And it is literally that simple. And what you will end up doing is in the process, and I'm just like, I don't pretend I'm doing that now, like basic self, are you in communication with high self, yes or no? Please ask the high self if it will teach you how to create a reservoir so that we can store mana for use for instant communication and healing or anything else that the high self, you or I, need to do in our body and have it made whole and present at any time. So is that available? Can you do that? Yes or no? And give me a strong yes. And so we start the process. And so now, in order to help facilitate this, I'm going to do deep breathing so that y'all can do the work and create this reservoir and make it available. Now, let me tell you why that reservoir is important. If all you're doing is running on, you know, it's kind of like an internet system where you have the office LAN system running. If everybody's running 100%, you ain't got any extra to do anything else. You want to create a fuel tank of mana. And when you create that fuel tank of mana, you have it available to work. It almost works in the principle of an alternator in a car. The alternators replace generators. They both create electricity, but the battery is kept fully charged at all times, and the alternator runs the car, but it keeps the battery full. It doesn't just generate electricity 100%, but when you cut it off, it's not creating all the stress, so you have a flow and a pool of energy that you work from, and that's what that reservoir works from. That help you?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
I wanted to say one thing I've been wanting to ask. For many years now, I've been working with animals on having them understand what I'm saying to them, and I've been quite successful. If the ants come into my kitchen, I can gratefully acknowledge them and ask them to leave. And the whole time I was when it works, I know there was something else in action that was happening, and I was so delighted to come across the HUNA finally, because that it's the three cells just cinched it. It was so perfect that was exactly the path that I had to go through in order to get that to happen.
Okay, well, a lot of times, for example, I don't think, I have a dog, and Braveheart's my dog, and I work on sending Braveheart telepathically images, and he and I kind of learn to talk, but when I really need something communicated that's important, I don't mess with trying to tell Braveheart directly. I go from my high self to the group soul of Braveheart, and I'm sitting there with him, and I have the group soul force of Braveheart tell Braveheart what it was we were talking about. And that way I can, I'm not going to sit in and pretend to tell you that I hear all that conversation. That's high self business. And you know what we say about high self business. That's not my business. How high self does is none of my business. But the fact that I've been able to relay the request is, and my high self through the basic self will tell me whether or not we got that across. And in so doing, we've changed a lot of what were dangerous behavior patterns of the animal. Because he now recognizes that this could hurt him, whereas before he was like all instinctually running, Dogs have a powerful smell, and when they get the scent on certain things, it's, oh my God, that's all they can see, hear, and feel. So through these efforts, I've been able to help the animal grow and overcome some of these things when it didn't serve him. And our life and its life are better. The same thing for insects. Insects have a group soul. That we're all, the statement that we're all connected is a true statement. Learning to get that connection to work better with group souls toward common events works, This works, even with insects. It works very well.
Yes, and I've noticed that if I can get one of them, like one goose, for example, to put his head up and really listen to me and understand, even though I'm not, he doesn't understand the words.
I'm not so sure. He's hearing it through his connection.
Pardon?
He's hearing it through his connection, just like
Yes. You're
connecting it to him.
Yeah, if I can get through to one of them, all of a sudden they all do the same thing.
Oh.
They all understand.
Well, it was like, this the weekend prior to me coming out here to California to do this class, I went by my mother-in-law, how she catched me over. She said, I have an animal in the house. I said, what you got? She said, I have a squirrel. He's trapped in the bathroom. I went into the bathroom, and I found him behind the commode, sitting in there in the corner, shaking. I had a towel, and I said, now listen here. And I felt myself, I went into my high self, and I said, this thing is terrified. I want to work here and do deep breathing. I want that energy present so that we can contact the group soul of this animal. And when I felt the connection, I was able to put my hand over about 10 inches away from him, and I could feel that energy flowing with me. When I did that, he quit crouching, and his tail went down, and I showed him I was going to put him in the towel. And please be careful, because I didn't want him to hurt me, and I didn't want to hurt him, and I was going to carry him outside and release him so he could go home. And when I did that, I won't say he walked over and flipped up the towel and got in, but I was able to put the towel around him. He still was working with what was going on. I was able to cover him up. I took him outside, and I let him go. And I'm telling you, he stopped and looked at me, and then he was a bat out of you-know-where going to back to where he wanted to go. He knew exactly where he was. And, and I thought that was such a better way than having to chase the poor varmint down, gathered, terrified in the towel. And, I always try to work toward a form of harmony to get something done. And, we're all pretty much born with what's right. We don't have to, we know what's right. We know what's wrong. And the Hawaiians are pretty clear on that. And they're not the only ones. A lot of indigenous people get it real quick and are keeping it that way. It works. Any more questions?
Beautiful. Do you think that basically everything we ask for has to be for some sort of benevolent reason? I mean, there is.
No, I don't. I also want to dispel the statement. I hear these people like, I won't ding, but here's, there's a John of God in Brazil, for example. They say he's got this gift, but he cannot use it for himself. I'm sorry. That's horse manure. We create stuff every day for ourselves. It's not that you shouldn't use it for yourself. It is that the way you use it for yourself. It's more about the journey. You're not giving this information to do just for others. You're giving this information to enhance your life. Everybody has a right to grow, be prosperous, healthy, wealthy, and so forth. And if that's something they want to work on, that whether you do it through HUNA or not, you're going to acquire those goals doing it through HUNA, whether you knew it or not to begin with. Because if you have a goal and you want to earn X amount of money or become a certain level of position in life, you're working that vision. We already know for a fact that your Amaku is creating that future for you and working with you. So this minutia that floats around about you can't use the power for self-indulgence, and I don't know who wrote that. It's probably the guy at the head of the minutia church that said, "I want all the money." You know, that's horse manure. If you can't help yourself, in fact, I'm going to be on the record for saying this: the first job of anybody learning to practice HUNA is to learn to heal themselves and to become the best they can be, because by living that way, you learn to heal and are healing everything around you. You bring that force to that place. And if you can't do it inside yourself first, you're in doo-doo land. That make sense?
Yes, and I believe that the benevolence to myself enables me to be benevolent to other people if I'm not benevolent to myself first. You know, in other words, anything that should come of this, the more I can work with this HUNA program, the more I am capable of assisting others. So it is all benevolent.
Yeah, and see, you do it. I tell people, like when we have celebration service, a.k.a. known as church, you know, one of the things we stress in the celebration is that the product is how you judge it. You know, when you come to a place, you're working in the positive light. It's so ridiculous. So many things that we don't do. There was a story. There was one Hawaiian story about how the energy was used on a daily basis. The local tribe leader had the heiau is called a meeting place. That's what that is. And Hawaiian meeting places were high on stilts, that above the ground, and you had steps and so forth. But the leader of the tribe, or the chief, whatever, would talk to the group because they would be standing higher up so they could see him and hear him. Just the reality of life. So he sat there and he had the heiau, and the winds would come and it would destroy things. So he wanted to have another way of getting up there doing that. So what he did was ask the kahuna to move the rock. Had this huge boulder over there that if they could get it over there by the heiau, it would be another addition to where they could put, you know, stand on the rock if all else failed, and do what he wanted to do. So he gave the request out. The kahuna went and found four guys, one of which was older than the other three, and that made him the elder, so he was in charge. And he said he moved the rock, and that was it. And so what happened? That's the process here, and here's the trick. He said, you know, what the elder does is that we're going to talk to the Amakua of the rock and its mama. In other words, they got their high selves to go to the living high self of that rock, or for all the group of the high selves, and then they asked the rock if it would be okay if they moved it. If they didn't get a yes, they'd have to find another rock, but they got a yes, and then they said, would you be so kind to allow us to move us without your weight? Now, as ridiculously simple as that sounds, all four of those guys picked up about an 8-ton rock and moved it over to where they wanted, got it positioned, and put it down. Now you can say, well, that doesn't make any sense at all. That's child magic. You know, well, I can't move it. Ask it if you can do it without your weight. In other words, we can use this energy even for the most mundane things. But it's about being in boundaries, about being in permission. It's about doing so with respect and giving thanks for the process. It makes for a far better way of living your life. Truly.
Thank you.
And by the way, at age 59, and I'm in pretty good shape for 59, not that there's a limit to what I can be or not, but my mother-in-law's moving this week, and she has these, like, gargoyle concrete things out there. And I went out there, and I talked to both those gargoyles, and I said, I would like permission to be able to move these things without all of their weight. I ain't got time to make sure we get it all gone, but I would like some help. I got the okay and went over there and picked them up, put them in the back of the truck, and over there and dropped them off and put them where I said. So the movers came, and the guy said, well, I just saw that guy pick this thing up and stick it right over there. And he went over there. He took four of them to pick up that gargoyle, and they were like, what happened? You know, he just chucked it out of the truck. And I said, y'all just don't know how to do it, you know. I let them struggle through, but, it, you know, it was the look on their face when that very young man who was so muscle-bound went to pick that thing up, and he couldn't even move it. It was like, oh, my God, you know. I'm sorry, I took great humor in that, and again, gave great thanks for getting that done, you know. It's just funny, but this is another one of those examples about living right. You know, it's about being in the flow, and there's no reason why you can't live every day an exciting day full of love, life, and energy. It's ridiculous that you can't do that. And no matter how bad things seem, they can always be made better.
Oh, I'm so grateful that you told that little story, because I just got back from Coral Castle. One of the modern wonders of the world, and he, this little tiny man, built the whole thing out of tons and tons of coral.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so obvious to me that that's what he was doing, but I hadn't heard of Huna yet.
Well, can you imagine his neighbors seeing him take those blocks and walk them around and put them up?
Well, they never got to see it. They just got to see the loaded truck, and 10 minutes later.
Yeah. Makes you want to come to that place. Look, we're creators. You can learn to tap into the universe, and if you have no ill intent and you're doing it in the most positive way you know how, the universe will respect you and help you. Now, I normally shy away from using such terms as the universe, but the reality comes down to the great company of Amakua and the Kiyaku, the creator of all things, has set up rules. And if we learn to live within that structure of his energetic rules, or her energetic rules, or their energetic rules, the creator is simply that, the creator. It created everything around us. And if you stop criticizing, if you stop getting caught up in getting ready to get ready, if you stop saying, I can't, and you get down to looking at the process rather than listening to the dogma, you'll find that there's some tools there that will help you and that you can recognize and work it out and use in your own life. So, I mean, that's the motto of the day, so to speak. I want that energy to perceive me, be in me, and perceive me in every act and deed I do. And I mean it. I mean, I'm alive today because it did and is. It works.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Well.
Hey, James.
Julian.
What are you thinking? Wrap it up?
Yep. I'm getting starving. It's time to go feed me.
I think we need to set up another call here in a few weeks, and we'll do it again. And it looks like we just got donation in, so thank you. Anybody else?
Thank you so very much.
This is amazing, James. Thank you so much.
As easy as pie and as natural as life. To all of you, aloha.
What do you call you, Reverend Superman?
Mahalo.
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 Thank you, James.
Welcome.